Torah reading is taken from the 20th chapter of Genesis. Vayatzi, he went out. You know, the Torah portion is a very significant one because it deals with that place, but also deals with Jacob's ladder and the vision of Yeshua. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit kind of led me in a different area. Instead of 28, I'm going to focus on Genesis 29. Like I was saying, Genesis 20 is the saga of Isaac and Jacob. Isaac has charged Jacob and told him the people from which to choose a bride. Then he goes on to say that the place where the vision of Jacob's ladder is realized, but that is not the focus of my discussion. In the next chapter, Jacob encounters Rachel for the first time. And needless to say, when he saw her, I guess for lack of a better term, his whole world lit up. He was smitten at first sight. The scriptures went on to say that he kissed her, and Jacob lifted up his voice and wept. That's what I'm going to focus on for this Torah reading. He lifted up his voice and wept. And my mind works kind of counterclockwise. So I said, well, why would he weep? And I'm going to offer some suggestions why he would weep. For Jacob's life, his life was centered around his wits and self-guided purpose. My will is supreme. Everything opposite me is nothing. I kind of have Jacob having that kind of attitude. To borrow the words of the Jewish philosopher Martin Buber, Jacob substituted the I-it relationship for the I-thou relationship, meaning that Jacob had the tendency to relegate human personality down to the realm of things, meaning that it's functional as long as it serves my purpose. And I think that whole paradigm of thought changed when he saw Rachel for the first time. Because in that instant, he realized that, well, let's go back to Isaac. When Abraham was going to find a wife for Isaac, Eliezer, which in Hebrew means comforter, showered Rebecca and her family with gifts and treasures. But when Jacob saw Rachel for the first time, he had nothing to give her at that point anyway, because of his scheming and his deceit. He basically left his father's house with only a staff in his hand. So he had nothing to give her. And I'm going to try to draw a parallel with Jacob's empty hands with our relationship with Yeshua and our neighbors. We stand before God and our neighbors with that same empty hand, because we live a life usually that is wrapped in fear and controlled by an unsurrendered heart to the Holy Spirit, which is our comforter. And the Holy Spirit desires to give us gifts that we can present to our neighbors, gifts that only He can give. Gifts that are born from the love of the Holy Spirit within us that we allow to become active in our lives through a surrendered heart. When we come across those people in the marketplace, we have to reveal to the Lord that when we deal with people in the marketplace, we have to realize that they are hungry. And the gifts that we have to give is the bread of life. And in order for them to accept that bread and to embrace that bread, we have to live that bread in our lives. We have to extend ourselves to them in ways that reveal to them that they are special. Each individual on this earth is special because they're special in the eyes of God. And when we meet that person in the marketplace, let us, for example, live out the kindness that Yeshua lived out. Let us extend, say, for example, in a restaurant. If you see someone sitting alone in a restaurant across from you, why not just go up to that person? Can I pray for you? Well, you see an elderly lady on the street. What if you were able to give her a rose? Or volunteer at a soup kitchen? The blessings that we experience in here, we have to take out in the streets, because they're not coming to us, people. Brothers and sisters, they're not coming to us. We have to go to them. We have to go to them where they are in order to live out the surrendered life to the Spirit. Where did Yeshua? He did go to the synagogues, but he went to the people where they were. He went to the marketplace, the wells. He sat down and talked to people. He didn't hide his gift. He didn't hide his light under a bushel. And we can't either. I know we come in and we experience the beauties and the blessings of the Lord here in the confines of these four walls, but we need to realize that we already got the gift. They out there don't have it. And when we have a world now controlled and manipulated by alternative truths, they need the security of the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And we only, and we're the repositories of that. We have that within our hearts. And they cannot experience that unless we express that. Sometimes we can say more with a kind word or a smile than anything else. The centuries past, the church was the foundation of stability in society. Going back to the civil rights movement, going back to abolitionists, going back to even Egypt. When the Spirit moves in a community, it is the people that reveal it. It is through the people that God works. We have to be co-workers with God. There is so much in our world today. There's so much sadness and confusion. And I mean, people are just searching for something to hold on to. And they're reaching for things in all the wrong places, through drugs, through alcohol, through new age, through sex promiscuity. I mean, they're searching for things in a way that can only breed false hope, fears, and anxieties. Amen. But we have the truth. And brothers and sisters, I just say, the hour is late. Clock of destiny is ticking out, and we must move while we have a chance, while we have that opportunity, because we are and we will be held accountable. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.